And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As I described at the Pentagon, we're hitting ISIL harder than ever in Syria and Iraq. We are taking out their leaders. Our partners on the ground are fighting to push ISIL back, and ISIL has been losing territory. Our special operations forces are hard at work. We took out the ISIL leader in Libya. We've taken out terrorists in Yemen and Somalia. So we're sending a message. If you target Americans, you will have no safe haven. We will find you, and we will defend our nation.
I feel better, you know, knowing that we have such a strong-willed, such a patriotic man in the presidency. I sleep better at night knowing that he's doing everything he can around the clock with the geniuses and intelligence. And I have such faith in the Department of Homeland Security. Now, it is true that the enemies did slip through in San Bernardino because the government forbade anyone from looking at the social networking commentary for the last number of years. But look, if you want to make an omelet, if you want to make an omelet, as Karl Marx said, you got to break a few eggs. And on the way to this omelet called the New World Order, some of us have to die. We're the eggs that have to be broken. The sovereignty of America has been broken over Obama's knee. Oh, yeah. See, he's doing everything he can around the clock to make sure that Sharia is the law, not only of the land, but of the war, of the world. You may not see that. You may not know it. You may not want to hear it. You don't want to know about Islam's 1,400-year war against the rest of the world. But it's a fact of history. Congress just approved $1.6 billion as part of the new budget to resettle illegal aliens arriving at the border through the year 2018. That's right. Paul Ryan, who is Obama's beard, we're going to be calling Paul Ryan Obama's beard from now on. The beard, I don't understand. I don't know what it means, but we're calling him Obama's beard because there is no Republican Party anymore. There hasn't been for a very long time. And Paul Ryan is simply shuffling, as they say, the deck chairs on the deck as the ship goes down. He is Obama's beard. He gave Obama everything that he dreamed of and then some, including extra money. Go ahead, take more money to resettle illegal aliens arriving at the border through 2018. Go ahead, have more money. We don't care. Christian school puts professor on leave for solidarity hijab. Christian school now is teaching Islam. Slowly but surely, little by little, that's how it goes. They have hundreds of years. They don't deal in seconds. They don't deal in days. They don't deal in minutes. They don't deal in months. They don't deal in years. They deal in centuries. Meanwhile, a team led by Middle Eastern women were caught surveying the U.S. facility on the Mexican border. Women and children. Team led by Middle Eastern woman, rather, caught surveying U.S. facility on Mexican border. Putin says Trump is a really brilliant and talented person. Even Putin knows how brilliant Trump is. Even Putin knows that Trump would be better for the safety of the universe than the creature that we have right now, the snake in the White House. There's no limit to the snake's desire to harm people. But I don't want to talk about it. I read you some of the headlines. Oh, yes, the Senate's going to investigate the defense secretary's use of personal email. You expected something else from Ash Carter, Mr. Pink Tie, another stooge they found from the Beltway? The Senate will investigate defense secretary Ash Carter's use of personal email for work business to make sure he didn't send any sensitive information. Oh, please. Are you joking? Are you kidding me? He admitted to a mistake in using personal email. Have you seen the faces of the men running our military and defense and security establishments? If you were a 35-year-old throat-cutting member of ISIS, would you be trembling in your headscarf? You'd say that they're a bunch of fat old weaklings, and they're not long for the world. That's what you'd say, because Obama cannot stand any competition. He will not put a young, vigorous, returning war veteran around him because he knows he's nothing compared to the most lowly private who has faced bullets in combat. But I don't want to talk about that. Nope. You know what I want to talk about? I don't even want to talk about Paul Ryan betraying America. giving a $1.1 trillion funding bill to transform America. $1.1 trillion, including $1.6 billion to resettle illegal aliens arriving at the border through 2018. You may as well leave your own country, because Paul Ryan, Obama's beard, fully funded DACA, fully funded sanctuary cities, fully funded all refugee programs, fully funded all of the Mideast immigration programs that have been exploited by terrorists in recent years. The beard has fully funded illegal alien resettlement. The beard has fully funded the release of criminal aliens. The beard has fully funded the H-2B foreign worker visa so Facebook can make more money. The beard has funded tax credits for illegal aliens. The beard has funded huge spending increases everywhere you can look. The beard has funded virtually everything that the far left has dreamed of their entire life. The only thing the beard, Paul Ryan, has not yet given Obama for is the internment of conservatives in FEMA camps. But it's still early in the regime's last remaining months or years, whatever they may decide they want. Because if he decides he doesn't want to leave office, I'm sure the beard will find the fluke in the law to let the snake stay on to finish things up. I don't want to talk about that either. I want to talk about our cyber spying. I want to talk about the selective service idea I came up with yesterday. Yesterday's show was one of my favorites. It was how to win at cyber warfare, stopping ISIS and China through a selective service, where we would draft computer experts into the military. We'd get the young computer savvy experts and draft them into a special division in the military. And we had a very vigorous conversation about that yesterday. I had hackers calling the show. I was honored that hackers listened to the show. And I realized afterwards why I liked hearing from them, because in essence, they have the same mentality I do. I am fundamentally hacking the narrative of the establishment. Do you understand what I do for a living is remarkable? There are other talk show hosts who are simply Republican frontmen. Despite their complaints to the contrary, they're frontmen for the Republican Party. Even if they say they're not Republicans and they attack them, they are Republicans. I'm not. I never worked for a Republican. I never voted for a Republican since maybe Ronald Reagan. That was about it. I'm not a member of the Republican Party. Because we have no parties. We have a one-party government. I called it a Democrat Republican Party in 1994. Now I call it Government Zero. It's even worse than I thought. So, I care about national security. And I looked into the subject last night by going onto my Facebook account. And I found some good Facebook comments, which I want to share with you. Because I think I have the brightest minds who listen to talk radio calling in, and they don't call in. Generally, the brightest minds can't call in. They're either listening on the internet and doing other things. They don't call in. They listen. Yeah, entertainment, boredom, whatever, but they're listening. They like what I say sometimes. Sometimes they don't. Like anything else, nothing's 100%. But they like the fact that they hear a rebel on this show. They hear a rebel named Michael Savage, still a rebel at my age, and proud to be a rebel at my age. Always a rebel at my age, and I'm a rebel with a cause. That's the difference between me and the James Dean movie. I'm a rebel with a cause, and you can pretty much figure out what the cause is if you've listened to this show for any length of time. So I have a lot of rebels who listen to this program, and some of them are hackers, some of them are programmers, and the cyber war that we are engaging in, we are losing. We're losing to China. We're losing to ISIS. Everywhere you turn, we're losing the cyber war. And I want to win at the cyber warfare level, and I want to stop ISIS, and I want to stop China from stealing our ideas and penetrating our Defense Department computers. How can you do it? Do you think we're stupid? Do you actually think that we are dumber than the Chinese? Do you actually think that we're dumber than those rats in the desert or in Pakistan where they're hiding in some toilet bowl in the third world? We have the smartest people on the planet, but we have the most deceptive president in the history of this country who does not want to tap into the talent that we have. This deceptive snake who is running the government will only pick compliant, weak old men around him. Men with pink ties. Men who have pink brains. Men who have pink on their brains are the only men he will put around him. Idiots and morons. Idiots and morons who fail to protect us as they did in San Bernardino and keep their job. Why would he keep that idiot who runs DHS? Because he's a useful idiot. And he introduces the war against ISIS today on his way to another vacation with the wife and kids. On the way to a vacation, he stopped to give a little speech. Then he's going to stop at San Bernardino and hug somebody. And then he's off on another vacation to Hawaii after he worked so hard this year. He just got a new budget passed with his beard, Paul Ryan, running interference for him. So I'm going to read you some of the comments. Phone number is 855-407-282. I can guarantee you that when Donald Trump becomes president, he will attract the best and brightest that we have in this country, not only to work in cyber warfare, but at every level of government. We'll get rid of the sick sorority girls. We'll get rid of the wobblies in every aspect of government, and we'll have America back again. And then eventually we need a House of Un-American Activities Committee hearing to arrest those and try them for what they've done to this country. Every last one of them who've done damage to this nation, whether it's border security, cyber security, national security, every one of them should be tried for what they've done to this country, because they know what they're doing. And there's no excuse for it. So Facebook comments include this. Lois Black says, instead of a draft, offer the companies a certain number of visas for foreign workers in exchange for them supplying the government with loyal hackers. Andrew Polak wrote, instead of a forced draft, why not put out bounties for successful hacks? How much is a bomb to take out a guy versus paying some hacker a couple of grand for every successful cyber takedown? That's an interesting one. Jane Marie Sherber writes, a similar concept was highly successful during World War II at Bletchley Park in England. Some people have the type of brain that thrives on intense problem solving. Chess players, crossword addicts, computer hackers with no thought of monetary remuneration. They simply love the challenge. Sometimes they come across as eccentrics, but in a war situation, if handled by someone who understands what makes them tick, they can collectively achieve incredible results. Jane Marie, that is true. That's if we had a leader who was patriotic. That's if we had a leader who wanted to beat them at the cyber game. He doesn't want to beat them at the cyber game any more than he wants to bomb the oil trucks. Don't you understand that we have a man who is either playing for the other side or not playing at all? Don't you get that yet? Here are some other Facebook comments. Michael Eddings says, I wonder why we can't sift through all the current laws and find one that would apply to a U.S.-based company aiding and abetting terrorists by allowing their services to be used to orchestrate their horrendous acts. Facebook should self-police terrorist activity or face treason charges. Same with Microsoft's Xbox and Sony's PlayStation. If a trucking company knowingly allows their trucks to traffic drugs, wouldn't they be liable and face punishment for not reporting it to law enforcement? Amen to that, Michael Eddings. That's right. No one is too big to fall. I have said for a long while now that Twitter, Facebook, every one of them, by not engaging in the cyber war that we must engage in to survive as a civilization, they are aiding and abetting terrorism. And they themselves are part of the problem, not part of the solution. And Philip Wellington says, Oh, I can't go on because we're almost out of this first stop set. Now, another one says that I have a flaw in my idea about forcefully recruiting hackers and conscripting them into the military to counter cyber terrorism. And he'll tell you, I'll tell you what he wrote. If you care to call, and I'm going to also give you a little background on Israel's Unit 8200, their super secret cyber spy agency that is at a science park in Beersheba, southern Israel. They have the brightest, youngest teenagers working in cyber security in Israel. Why don't we have that here? Instead, we have a president who encourages Ferguson and Baltimore. Because that's what he does. That's how a snake operates. That's what I see. And it's very unfortunate for you. And I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So there was a massacre just a few days ago, really, a massacre at a work event. It was not work-related, of course. It was Islam-related. Shootout, massacre. U.S.-born Farouk and Pakistan native Malik expressed commitment to Islamic Jihad and martyrdom in direct private online messages. And yet it was not caught by the Department of Homeland Security, Naval Intelligence, you name the intelligence services that are busy making dates with each other on government computers, watching internet pornography, spying on conservative groups, spying on conservative groups, spying on conservative groups. Obama has created an internal Stasi in the United States of America, an internal spy agency, more concerned with stopping the political opposition than stopping radical Islam. Write that one down. Obama's Stasi was just rewarded today by his beard, Paul Ryan. So when I have this conversation on how to win at cyber warfare, it's almost a moot point. It's a moot point. Even if any of these ideas were enacted, what good would it be if you have a man in the driver's seat who was taking the bus over the cliff? What good is it? None of us have faith in him. It's a sham. I mean, look, I'm controlling myself. I watched this speech this morning by the charlatan on his way on vacation. He was again late by how long, Robert? 30, 40 minutes? 45 minutes he made the world wait for his speech. You know who used to do this? Hitler. I'm not comparing the two in terms of politics, but I've studied the history of demagoguery and crowd manipulation. And Hitler was very famous for showing up late and then making everyone wait before he began his speech. Did you know that? He has some good advisors. I got to tell you that. He has some excellent advisors from Hollywood on how to keep a crowd anxious and on their toes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Okay, my friends. We are talking about losing the war against ISIS, which, God forbid, if this ever really happened, do you have any idea the ramifications of radical Muslims taking over the United States of America? You think this is a laughing matter? You think it can't happen here? You know, many of us walk around like it can happen here. Well, Germans walked around when Hitler took power saying he's a nut. It's a bunch of right-wing nuts. They're never going to get anywhere, even though he was a left-wing nut. And, well, the rest is history. What would happen if these rebellious, radical, insane rapists and killers were to succeed in taking over America? Now, some would argue they've taken over a good portion of America already without killing. They just use the killing to intimidate and cow everybody. But they've penetrated every level of government. They've penetrated every level of academia. They've penetrated the United States media. So in essence, how much more can we take of this war against Islam when Islam is at war with us? You know that, and I know that. Let's stop mincing words. You have to trip over it. Every time you are about to say what you know is going on, they call themselves the Islamic State. How could you not see it related to Islam? Now, I understand if I were a Muslim listening to the show, I might be offended. And that's an offense that you're going to have to live with. Because what I'm saying is what most Americans believe and what most Americans say. They want to know how you could be a member of a religion that has so many members that hate us so much, that hate everyone but those who adhere to this fundamentalist vision. And how extensive is this problem? How many radicals are there amongst the Muslims in America? Let's forget the world. We can't do anything about them over there. Unless you're Obama, you bring more of them in. We keep hearing from political leaders that Muslims have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. We keep hearing that there's 99% of them share Western values, or 99.99 of them share Western values. And yet, according to the Muslim human rights activist Raheel Raza, the real figures are much different. The untold story is much different if you would actually listen to a Pakistani-born human rights activist and a devout Muslim herself who has spent the last 20 years speaking out against Islamic extremism. She's put together a film by the Clarion Project, which provides the real figures about the threat of Islamic extremism. You want to hear some of their findings? According to this film, the data published by the left-wing Pew Research Center, 39% of Muslims, that's 345 million of them, surveyed, think it can often, sometimes, or rarely be justified to kill a woman if she engages in premarital sex or adultery. 52% of Muslims, that's 281 million people, surveyed, support Sharia law, which favors corporal punishment, such as whipping or cutting off hands of thieves. 27% of Muslims, that's 237 million people, surveyed, believe apostates should be executed. 51% of Muslims, that's 289 million people, surveyed, support Sharia law, are in favor of stoning unfaithful spouses. You want more? Are you ready for more for your Muslim friends amongst you? This study by a devout Muslim herself also cites a Pew study which found that among Muslims aged 18 to 29 living in Western countries, 26% of American Muslims, 35% of British Muslims, and 42% of French Muslims believe suicide bombings against non-Muslims can be justified. Is that radical? What you consider radical is considered normal in many parts of the Muslim world, according to Ms. Raza, R-A-Z-A. It's in a new movie. She said, while the vast majority of Muslims don't believe in suicide bombing, killing apostates, honor killings and stonings, hundreds of millions of them do. We need to have an honest conversation about this. And the film challenges viewers to put aside charges of racism or Islamophobia and fear-mongering, etc., and really look at it straight on. And it's a narration by Rahil Raza, a devout Muslim herself, Pakistani-born, but she's a human rights activist, unlike CARE and the other front groups, who will always apologize for one terror attack after another. So what's the problem then? The problem is, do the fine gentlemen that Obama showed off this morning understand any of this? Does Mr. Clapper understand this? Does Mr. Brennan understand this? Do you really think they understand the problem that they're facing? And if they did, do you think they would do anything about it? So we go back again to what can we do about it? And we're hoping for a future time when Donald Trump becomes president, I would say, or someone who's a conservative. But that's a long shot because, you know, it's not that I don't think Ted Cruz is a good guy. He's unelectable. I'm sorry. I'll say it again. I know that there are a lot of Ted Cruz supporters in my audience, and I respect that. But I'm a realist. In a general election, there's something about Ted Cruz that makes him unelectable. I looked at him very carefully. You know, the medium is the message. A lot of an election has to do with looks. He has a certain weirdness to his look. I'm sorry to tell you, it's just the way it is. If you look at his eyes, there's a deceptiveness. There's certain things about Ted Cruz that would make him unpalatable to the general electorate. They don't even know who's running on the Republican side. They know Donald Trump, that's about it. And then a whole slew of other guys, they don't know who they are. They're not going to pay attention to the election until next Labor Day. Then they'll pay attention to the election, Labor Day 2016. That's well established. Then they'll start saying, who should I vote for? And that's how it's going to be. Now, they take a look. They're going to have the old hag Hillary Clinton. Most of them detest her. She is the most detested of all candidates. Women don't like her. Millennials distrust her. And yet it's the only thing the Democrats can offer us is Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't mind if a Democrat had a conservative Democrat, a patriotic Democrat. They did, by the way. There was one of them. What was his name? I don't want to get the name wrong. He was the former Navy guy. I tried to get him on the show. He was on one debate once. I've already forgotten his name. I don't want to get it wrong. I know it, huh? Jim Webb. Sorry about that. I thought Jim Webb would have been a fantastic Democrat candidate. But they dismissed him right out of the box because he was too patriotic and he was too oriented towards solving problems the right way, which is the American way. And they got rid of him. Instead, they have this character, O'Malley, who's a fake Jim Webb. Anyway, that's irrelevant. What I'm saying is I'm not a fan of Ted Cruz because he can't win. He cannot win. He simply cannot win. Ted Cruz would probably be a great Secretary of State or in some other great department. I don't think he could ever win against even Hillary Clinton. That's why I'm not a fan of Ted Cruz. He's unelectable. He doesn't have the look for it. And his voice is squeaky. He has a squeakiness to the voice, doesn't he? I'm sorry, his voice is a little squeaky. He just doesn't present properly to be a president. And you looked at that group of candidates. Did you see how Trump towered over everyone? Height matters, man. I got to tell you, in leadership, people tend to gravitate towards tall people. Take it from someone who's not tall. I have had to fight that my whole life. And because I was blessed with other characteristics than height, I've been able to succeed to the level I've succeeded. But the fact of the matter is everybody understands that height definitely does attract respect, and it does attract attention. But he has a lot more than height, by the way. He has a lot more than height. Yeah, he mangles sentences. I get that. He mangles sentences. He has bad grammar. I get all of that. It's part of how he delivers his speeches, by the way. It's in shorthand. I've come to understand one of the reasons that Trump is still acceptable, even though he mangles sentences and his English is imperfect, is because it's part of his shorthand. See, he comes from a New York businessman's background, which you don't understand unless you're from the New York area. People speak differently than in the rest of the country. They don't waste time with words. You know that they start sentences and don't finish them in New York in high circles? They're not worried about being misperfect, about finishing every little dot. They can telegraph what they're saying with a half a sentence because the other guy's as fast as he is, so he got it before it. You know, he says three words, the guy knows what he's talking about. He doesn't have to be exactly right with every little detail. Like all of the minis out there saying, oh, he didn't finish this, he mangled it, his tenses are wrong. That doesn't matter. People don't care. Secondly, with the level of education in America, I think it actually makes more sense to them now that he doesn't speak full sentences. That's good because they can't follow what most people are saying anyway. So let's go back to the topic at hand on the Savage Nation. I promise not to stick on this topic the whole day. We're talking about hackers. We're talking about cybersecurity. I did promise to give you a little peek inside Unit 8200, Israel's top secret cyber spy agency, which is filled with bright, geeky teenagers. Did you know that? Did you know that there's a graduation ceremony recently for this group? It's a three-year after-school program for 16 to 18-year-old students who have exceptional computer coding and hacking skills. And the organization is called Mag Shamim, which means fulfillment. Mag Shamim. It's a secret science park in Beersheba, Israel. Mag Shamim. Three-year after-school program for 16 to 8-year-old students with exceptional computer coding and hacking skills. And it serves as a feeder system for potential recruits to Unit 8200. The Israeli military's legendary high-tech spy agency, considered by intelligence analysts to be one of the most formidable of its kind in the world. Unit 8200, or Shimon Matayim, as it's called in Hebrew, is the equivalent of America's National Security Agency and the largest single military unit in the IDF. It's an elite institution whose graduates, after leaving service, can parlay their cutting-edge snooping and hacking skills into jobs anywhere in the world, Israel, Silicon Valley, Boston's high-tech corridor. And so you have to look into this. More than half of those in that organization were boys, but there were girls too, and 8200 is open to both. And so the fact is, applicants are not admitted simply if they have high computer skills. They're admitted only after an online questionnaire, followed by a battery of more rigorous tests to gauge their abilities in programming, languages, and thinking outside, they say outside the, anytime I hear thinking outside the box, I know people can't think outside the box. As someone who's always thought outside the box and performed outside the box, whenever I hear someone saying, let's think outside the box, I go to sleep and leave. Another program targets children in central Israel where wealth and opportunities are greater. And of the 1,400 children who applied last year, about 500 got in. Did you hear that? So in other words, it's highly competitive. They don't take everybody. School can be boring for these bright kids. Some fail, one of the instructors said. but they can do their best here, so they love it. You get that? See, I can go into this because I was always brighter than the average student in school, and I was not doing well in most schooling because I couldn't stand school. I hated it. It's a paradox when you consider it, or you want to call it an irony, that although I hated school from the first grade onward, I stayed on forever getting two master's degrees and a PhD from one of the great universities because in graduate school I finally found areas of learning that interested me, and nothing could stop me once I found something I loved to do. I ate, drank, and slept the fields that I immersed myself in. But in the lower levels, I hated it. I couldn't stand it. I went to sleep. My mind literally shut down. I would go to sleep in a classroom. I would doze off because my brain was shutting down. I used to joke that between the first grade and the third grade, or was it between the first grade and the fifth grade, I learned what a peninsula was. 5 years, they kept repeating the same thing. Here are the 50 states, and this is what a island is, and this is what a peninsula is. But anyway, the point is that a lot of these kids are super bright, and they can't learn in other schools, so they take them into the cyber area. This is fascinating. We'll continue to talk about it. Let's take a couple of quick calls on the Savage Nation. WDGJ Radio, Line 7, go ahead, please. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation, Line 7. Next case. WABC, Rafi, Line 2 from New York City, go ahead, please.
I wasn't going to disagree with what you said about draft, because I don't think we need a draft at all. I think that if the U.S. military is going to put up a unit, as the 8200 did, then the young are going to flow to it. And I myself happen to be a computer science student graduating this year. And if I am offered the opportunity to enter a unit as the 8200, I'll be the first one online over there for two reasons.
Wait, you're saying you would go if there was such a unit in America, but is there? Is there one?
It's the NSA, but I wouldn't want to work over there.
No, I get it. So there's no specialized unit for young people like you.
People like me are attracted to the 8200 for many reasons, and one of them is because when they come out of there, they're offered jobs and things better than, as you said yesterday about Facebook and Twitter giving up the employees. I believe they would give them up because when they leave the unit, they'll come back to Twitter and they'll be much better and much brighter than they were when they left.
I don't know about that. I really doubt very much whether these greedy buccaneers who own those companies would give up a dime. But I'm sending you your Hanukkah gift. I assume you're Jewish. You're getting government zero even though Hanukkah is over. If not, you can give it away to a friend and put it under a Christmas tree. Stay on the line. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. So today, on his way to a Hawaiian luau, our fearless leader gave a speech, and he used the very same words that he used after the terrorist attack in Paris. He gave a speech where he tried to reassure the American people, saying that there was no, quote, specific, credible threat facing the homeland. And then we had San Bernardino. And now today he gives the very same speech. The snake gives the same speech. The snake gets up today surrounded by Loretta Lynch, who try to attack Americans rather than jihadis. And again, the snake gives the same speech. He says, we do not have any specific and credible information about an attack on the homeland. Of course not. No, they're going to call you up and say we're going to attack somewhere, you idiot, you. They're going to send you a special delivery letter with a specific credible threat. That's why we're talking about cybersecurity, because we don't have any. That's what we want to hear about, Mr. Obama. Not this garbage that you keep swilling out to a public that has the brains to burn down Baltimore, but not to save the nation. We'll be right back.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I want to repeat what my team just told me. At this moment, our intelligence and counterterrorism professionals do not have any specific and credible information about an attack on the homeland. That said, we have to be vigilant.
I feel much better that they didn't send a special delivery letter saying where they were going to attack a daycare center or a mall. You know, because, look, if they had a credible threat, I guarantee you we'd know about it. Flanked by his national security team, which is a laugh, said we do not have any specific and credible information about an attack on the homeland. Now, that's the exact same pap that he threw at us after the Paris attacks. But nothing changes because there are no consequences. You see, you don't understand something. When there are no consequences, a child will continue to act out, whether it be in a kindergarten or in the White House. And I don't have to say anymore. Not only are there no consequences to his incompetence and stupidity, and by the way, evil intentions in the minds of at least 35 million Americans, but he gets rewarded for it. Got rewarded for it, for example, by his beard, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan the beard, the newly arrived Republican face is a beard. And he's just nothing but a beard for Obama's big government, $1.1 trillion, including an astonishing amount of money to resettle illegal aliens through the year 2018. So I'm not going to replay on this show today the debate. I did it yesterday, but I didn't even want to do that. It was boring. Instead, I talked about a selective service to win a war against ISIS in China through a selective service of the best and brightest in the fields of cybersecurity. And then I talked about the Israeli equivalent, where they take in the brightest kids, 16 to 18, and they put them into Unit 8200, high-tech spy agency. We don't have an equivalent here in America. I don't think we have an equivalent here. The project in Israel is housed in Be'er Sheva, and an office park whose tenants include IBM, Oracle, Lockheed Martin, EMC, PayPal, tied into Be'er Sheva's Ben-Gurion University and its cybersecurity research center. So Israel has a Unit 8200, do we? We have Loretta Lynch spying on Americans. We don't have Unit 8200. We have a unit that spies on Americans and threatens Americans. We have a Stasi. We have the equivalent of the East German Stasi operating inside this country. That's what we have. That's what this man has done to this country. Instead of hitting ISIS, he hits conservatives. Instead of leading a coalition against ISIS, he leads a coalition against conservatives. So what is the point of my complaining about it when we've lost any opposition in this country that we may have had? There's only one hope. And I stand by those words. It's Donald Trump. As flawed as any man may be, and we're all flawed, I love when people say he's not this, he's not that, and he was this and that. All right, great. I love all of you diehards, you 100%ers. Look in your own mirror sometime. See what 100% conservative you really are. You know, don't think you're fooling anybody. All of these popes of conservatism out there. The popes of conservatism. Only they can decide who's a true conservative. All the little mini popes who shave in the morning don't even look at their own image and ask themselves, are they kidding? What is this litmus test for a conservative? Where'd you get it? What booklet was put out with a litmus test for conservatives? What is this litmus test? I guess only you got the copy because no one else has seen it. All I know this about Donald Trump is that he'll kill ISIS. He'll bomb them into the Stone Age. He'll carpet bomb them and their families. If need be, they will disappear off the earth. No other candidate will have the nerve to do it and stand up to the vermin in the press after he does it. So we could talk about the cybersecurity issue. We can talk about anything else on the Savage Nation. Cyber warfare is a good one. 855-407-282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is my website. And I think I'll take a call. WABC. Jacob, you're a diehard Ted Cruz fan. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm not a diehard Ted Cruz fan. I'm a diehard Michael Savage fan. Let me say a few things quickly, Michael. I listen to your show every day. Ted Cruz would be, Donald Trump would be a fantastic president. Now, people that criticize Donald Trump for policy, Donald Trump doesn't need to tell every, like they say in Yiddish, Schmeiger, every secret policy. Donald Trump has proven over the years he knows how to get things done. He'll be a great president. Regarding Ted Cruz would be a very good president as well, very different type. Now, let me just say one other thing. Michael, Barack Hussein Obama is an Islamic terrorist, and I am saying this, and I will prove it to you if you want, and it discusses with me. This man
Hold it, you're making a statement, but let's see. How can you prove he's an Islamic terrorist? First of all, you have to prove he's conducted terrorism.
I'll tell you, well, if you look in the dictionary, the definition of the word terrorism, terrorizing, Barack Hussein Obama has terrorized this entire country by every one of his policies. He takes down the country. He's not stupid. He's doing this purposely. He understands what's going on. He's taking us down in every single way, with debt, with security, with law enforcement, everything, with Loretta Lynch, with Kerry, with every single action in this country. The black community, unemployment is down big time in Chicago with his mayor Emanuel that he put in. Every single thing with Al Sharpton in the White House, with the bloodio. This man has blood on his hands with his immigration policies. What's it called? San Bernardino happened. I follow everything, Michael. I listen to you every day. I follow you on YouTube, on Facebook. This man has blown his hands because of political correctness. Like
Jacob, we know the whole story. We understand why he gets away with it, because of white guilt, number one. That's how he got elected. And because of the idiots in the media who won't put him on the, call him on the carpet. A Republican who belches, they call a fascist. This one decimates us every day, and they look the other way. But what do you expect looking at Jake Tapper? You expect an upright man? Or Wolf Blitzer? Tell me about Wolf Blitzer, a Jew from Israel. Tell me why he behaves that way all these years.
Wolf Blitzer is a self-hating Jew. Now, let me just say one last thing, Michael. I appreciate the time very much. Barack Obama is a mafia nick. He basically gets every single thing he wants. He never gives in. Now, Paul Ryan is a jerk with that beard. I don't want him there.
No, I called him Obama's beard. That's the official name for Paul Ryan. He is Obama's beard. But why is he growing a beard when beards are so unfashionable in Washington? What's the beard about, in your opinion? If you're an Orthodox Jew, beards are required by a male. Why is Ryan growing a beard?
I'll tell you why. I think it's a secret deal between him and Obama. Obama's a Muslim. He really wants to have a beard. He doesn't want to give away the
secret. Now you're funny. So in other words, Ryan's growing a beard because Obama can't show the beard.
Exactly. Let me just
Very funny. Well, at least you have a sense of humor. At least you have a sense of humor, which is nice. Are you allowed to read Government Zero, Jacob, in your community?
I would love to. To be honest with you, I've been calling for weeks. I've been trying to get through to you. Now, the reason I didn't...
Now you got the free book. It's Hanukkah's over, but you got a Christmas present coming. It won't come in a package with a cross. Don't worry about it, Jacob. You won't be ostracized in your community. Come on. We're just having fun already. That's all. That's all. Heavy rain's coming here in the San Francisco area, but they haven't announced the drought's over yet. Jerry Brown's still lecturing about the global warming and the drought. Deluge with water, rain, more coming. El Nino's coming. The snowpack's getting bigger every day. They haven't acknowledged that it's over, that nature suddenly corrected itself. They're still on the same story. CEO who jacked up drug prices arrested by the FBI. How could they do that? What did he do? Let me see this one. Exec who jacked the price of a life-saving drug is arrested. How is that possible? Martin Shkreli. I can't even pronounce his name. Martin Shkreli, the former hedge fund manager, vilified for buying a pharmaceutical company and jacking up the price of a life-saving drug more than 50-fold, was arrested Thursday on securities fraud, charges unrelated to the furor. The boyish-looking 32-year-old, a relentlessly self-promoting figure, who has called himself the world's most eligible bachelor on Twitter, and recently plunged into the hip-hop world by buying an unreleased album by the Wu-Tang Clan, was taken into custody in a gray hoodie and pleaded not guilty in federal court in Brooklyn. I don't even understand. What did he do? Charged an indictment unconnected? What is he charged for? His actions at another pharmaceutical company, Retrofin, which he ran as CEO until last year. Prosecutors said that in a Ponzi-like scheme between 09 and 14, Shkreli lost hedge fund investors' money through bad trades, then raided Retrofin for $11 million cash and stock to pay back his disgruntled clients. In other words, he got caught. What they all do, he got caught doing. That's all. He wasn't smart. He missed one step. He missed three New York lawyers. All he needed was three New York lawyers to cover this for him, and he would be working for the White House instead of going to jail. Shkreli engaged in multiple schemes to ensnare investors through a web of lies and deceit, said U.S. Attorney Robert Capers. Tell me how that's any different than Obama ensnaring Americans through a web of lies and deceit and pushing forward a $1.1 trillion budget. Isn't that the same thing as a Ponzi scheme? Yeah, it is, but he's running the country. It's nice to be king. So that's the story. It is now 16 minutes after the hour. And before I take a break, people have been asking me, am I taking off for the holidays? No. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't want to go anywhere. My problem is everyone is off. Robert, you're off next week, right? And Jim's off? Just for Christmas? I like to work holidays. If you know, even when I go somewhere, I have a studio where I go. I don't want to be off the air. What is there out there other than... Tell me what there is out there other than using your mind. What is there to do? Walk around. I don't understand it. I don't know what people do with their time off. I understand. I don't understand, actually. What do people do with time off? What is the purpose of living but to use your mind and to try to do some good and make some sense out of a crazy, insane world? Why would I not want to be here for you? I'll do it as long as God gives me the ability to do it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOI. Well, okay, the story just came out. Michael Savage says draft tech workers to help defeat ISIS. Talk host urges taking Trump's idea a step further. WorldNet Daily just wrote the article up. It's posted only on WorldNet Daily. You'll probably see it nowhere but there and on michaelsavage.com. And the article begins like this. When Donald Trump was asked at the CNN Republican primary debate to clarify his call to close down parts of the internet to thwart ISIS, the front-running candidate emphasized collaborating with the country's best tech entrepreneurs and talent. Talk radio host Michael Savage told his listeners Wednesday he agrees with Trump, but he would take it a step further, advocating a military draft focused on information technology workers. Savage said, I wouldn't get our brilliant people together and ask them to do it. I would require them to do it. Savage called for a selective service that targets IT workers who can go to work for the government as hackers to take down ISIS websites, Al-Qaeda websites. And then we need programmers to program positive information for the youth of America to make them love the country again and want to help the country again, he said. And then you're going to be involved in a cyber war that you might win. During the debate Tuesday night in Las Vegas, Trump recommended bringing together, quote, brilliant people from Silicon Valley and other places and figure out a way that ISIS cannot do what they're doing. I don't want them using our internet, Trump said. Savage noted that the buccaneers of the internet fortunes, I like that word, buccaneers. I was very proud of that. The buccaneers of the internet fortunes, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Bill Gates of Microsoft, Larry Ellison of Oracle, they're brilliant people, very successful. They've made billions off of the internet, which was launched by the government and developed with federal funding, Savage pointed out. But unlike the Obama administration, he doesn't want to use that as justification to take more of their money. Instead, the tech world can contribute directly to the war on terror. Quote, Savage said this, there's a lot of things they could be doing that they're not doing in this war on terror. He said an incident last week made him wonder which side Facebook Zuckerberg is on in the war against Islamofascism. As WND reported, Facebook censored a post on Savage's page on the social media website, which featured photographs of Muslim demonstrators holding signs threatening beheading and death for those who insult Islam. Facebook has not explained why it deleted the post, but it provided a link to its community standards page, which lists hate speech as one of its prohibitions, along with violence, graphic content, and nudity. Messages in placards held up by the London Muslims included, quote, behead those who insult Islam, freedom go to hell, Europe take some lessons from 9/11, and be prepared for the real Holocaust. On his show Wednesday, Savage said Facebook censored me. Why don't they censor the Islamo-fascists? He asked, which side is Zuckerberg on? Savage reiterated the government needs to have a specific draft, not a generalized draft, because we don't need everyone. I think they need to draft computer experts into the military tomorrow. Thank you, Art Moore, and thank you, WorldNet Daily, for being the only major league conservative website in the country that actually publishes articles that have meaning. Now to the calls, 855-400-7282. We're going to put that on the top of michaelsavage.com. Of course, it should be up on WND right now. Maybe some other outlets will pick it up. I think it's a very important idea that is a selective service. WJR, John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I just want to thank you for standing guard over the Christmas vacation. When everybody else is gone, somebody's got to stand guard. And as a letter carrier, I love listening to the afternoon. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, hold on. As a letter carrier, you're going to have a present from Santa in the mail. It's my book, Government Zero. It'll be arriving in your own pouch and to give to yourself. Stay in the line. I may be off a day or two because I think the network closes down for Christmas Day. I'm pretty sure everyone does. Right? I mean, Robert, isn't that true? Everyone's closed on Christmas Day? No? I don't know. I may want to work Christmas Day. What is it? What am I going to do? I don't understand it. In other words, Christmas Day is the waiting for Christmas Eve. I'm not a child sitting under the chimney waiting for Santa. What do you mean take the day off? What, has the world come to an end? Do you think the Islamo-fascists are going to take the day off? No, I don't think they can take the day off. What do you think about my idea to draft tech workers to help defeat ISIS? That's the question of the day. How did you feel about Obama's speech saying that there's no credible threat and therefore we shouldn't worry? The same garbage he fed us after Paris. Doesn't this man understand that he's a clown and that everyone is looking right through him and that he's the king without clothes? Does he not get that yet?
We are in a new phase of terrorism, including lone actors and small groups of terrorists, like those in San Bernardino. Because they are smaller, often self-initiating, self-motivating, they're harder to detect. And that makes it harder to prevent. But just as the threat evolves, so do we. We're constantly adapting, constantly improving, upping our game, getting better.
You're getting much better. You're getting much better at letting ISIS get through. Much better at it. There's no question he's getting better at letting them get through and not getting caught or arrested for sedition. There's no question that his game is getting better. He can have one terror attack after another and then come out and speak as though he just succeeded in preventing a terror attack. He is getting better at his game. See, we're getting better at our game. He's upping his game of lying. He's so good at it that right after San Bernardino, he thinks he can get up and bull gag the public. He can bull gag the public about being right on top of the game. This guy is terrific. A new terror attack, and he gives a speech like there was no terror attack. This is such classic propaganda. It's beyond belief. In other words, don't believe what actually happened. Believe the con man who you elected. No, don't believe what actually happened. Nothing really happened in San Bernardino. In fact, if you look at it, it didn't even happen at all. Because their game is so good. It never really happened. Him and the other geniuses on the stage, they actually prevented it. You don't even know that. They actually prevented San Bernardino. It was going to be much bigger, was it not, for those men on the stage. The puffy old white men. They're the ones who prevented a much bigger act from occurring. And he's getting better. He's upping his game of lying. He's so good at it that he believes his own BS. I can't believe listening to this guy. I don't believe he didn't even fire the head of the Department of Homeland Security after the attack. They don't even respond to the American people screaming to fire him. It's unbelievable to me. All right, let's move on because this is impossible. We know what's coming. It's going to get much worse. Much, much worse. You can pretty much be sure that none of us are safe today. You can pretty much be sure that no one's in charge that will stop the next terror attack. but you can pretty much be sure that Loretta Lynch will crack down on you if you say anything that offends a Muslim. That I can guarantee you. All of those puffy old white men will be dancing to her tune and making certain that anyone who makes any Muslim uncomfortable will be arrested by the federal government for committing a crime that doesn't exist. That's what happens during a reign of terror. She is the Madame Defarge of our time. Again, using a literary reference, she is the Madame Defarge, and I guess Obama is the Robespierre. I don't know what else to call him. He's the Robespierre, and she's the Madame Defarge. Now let's go to some people on this tech idea. There's some great callers, and I want to give them the time that they deserve. Let's go to Tennessee, WOKI. Joe, you own a tech company. Go ahead. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I own a tech company, not one of the Silicon Valley venture capital vampires. We provide a good product to real enterprise to help them grow. We put out an ad 2 weeks ago looking for people. We need coders. We pay relatively well, benefits. It's a proper job. It's good for the region. It's higher than the median pay in the region. And we have no takers yet.
Where is it located? It's in Tennessee, Joe?
Yeah.
And how much do you pay an hour?
An hour? This is salary.
Oh, so how much is the salary for such a person?
52 a year.
52 a year in Tennessee is equal to about 150 a year in Silicon Valley, isn't it?
I wouldn't even say that. That's being a little pessimistic on that. But close enough, yeah. I mean, in this region, it's an excellent salary. We put this out, and we also put it out as a freelance job. We have well over 100 replies from Indian coding companies, individuals looking to freelance our needs, all of that. People from Mexico, the Philippines, India, Malaysia, looking to code for us. We have no responses from right here.
Wait, what you're saying, you have no responses from American workers? Is that what you're saying?
None.
So where are the American workers? Where are they?
And that's an excellent question. See, the thing is that there's plenty of people that work for these tech companies, but the people that actually make the magic happen, the coders, the programmers, they're superb people. They nose to the grindstone. They're the best workers you'll have in the world. They're complete nerds. They're devoted to what they do. It's fantastic. I work with these people. They're the best. The problem is that we don't turn out enough of them because their jobs get sharked from overseas. And I feel like if we were to institute some kind of, I guess, a cyber defense draft, which is a good idea, which I like, because it would give them a lot of experience. When they come out of the military, they would be better employees for me. They'd be the best. I'd love it.
Why don't we create a cyber school, federal cyber schools, five of them, six of them across America, that would be run by people from Microsoft and Facebook and Twitter. They'd be drafted to run these schools in this time of war, and they'd set the schools up. Maybe the billionaires who own them would continue to pay them their same salary, since they've gotten so much from America for so little. Maybe they continue to pay these guys great salaries. They could run these schools, and that we could attract young kids who may have the capacity for it. How long would it take a bright young American high school student who's computer savvy to be useful to you? Meaning to learn to be useful to you.
Under a year. They don't need university education per se.
No, of course not. They don't have to learn how to put a condom on a cucumber at Harvard. I get it.
Exactly. To me, that would be brilliant. Honestly, why don't we do the same thing we do for some teachers, case in point, Teach for America, student loan forgiveness. Total student loan forgiveness in exchange for public service.
So you're saying you could take a bright, computer-savvy young person in high school and send them to some crash program, and within 1 year they would be useful to a company like yours?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would that 1 year be about the same amount of time necessary for them to go to work for the government to start taking down ISIS websites?
Well, they'd have to cut their teeth a little bit first. I mean, granted, ISIS websites are mostly publicly hosted. I mean, remember, ISIS is using social media that's the companies are based in the United States. They're using Facebook. They're using Twitter. They're using Instagram.
Why isn't Facebook and Twitter and Instagram forced by the federal government to stop permitting the terrorists from using their highways?
Honestly, I would agree to that. Were I Mark Zuckerberg, I would say I would immediately...
Well, why is Zuckerberg not being forced to do it? You know the answer better than I do. Obama comes there, he gives speeches for gazillions of dollars, and Zuckerberg gets to do nothing for America except line his pockets with more profits. And the same is for Bill Gates, despite all of his PR agents and all of his sweater jobs about what a nice guy he is not using Microsoft to stop them. And the same goes for the Sony PlayStation, etc. These companies must be forced to protect us. Now, by the way, having said that, I am not a computer expert. What would it take for Zuckerberg to shut down an Al-Qaeda access to one of his highways? How would he do that?
Well, the issue is that it would be a little bit difficult. First off, ISIS would be able to use a VPN, a virtual private network. They'd be able to route it through websites. They'd be able to route their traffic through, several of them, proxies. The real way, it would be really difficult to cut off access from a given region in Syria without completely disabling the internet in that region, and that is even beyond Mark Zuckerberg's power. The issue is, though, that you screen for these accounts, literally. It's not particularly hard. You keep a DOD or a Department of Homeland Security, CIA, whoever, whatever alphabet soup you'd like, you keep a liaison with you at corporate headquarters. They look through all posts in a given language, Farsi, Pashtun, Arabic. They look through posts in this given language. They run the algorithms that the NSA already has, and you immediately delete and shut down accounts. It would be literally, if you put the right amount of work into it, and then this wouldn't be particularly expensive.
Joe, are they already doing this? Joe, are they already doing this surreptitiously?
Absolutely not, because ISIS is useful. ISIS creates instability. ISIS keeps the Gulf states on their toes. It keeps Syria on their toes, who for some reason, actually I can tell you exactly why, because we want to build a pipeline. It keeps Syria under pressure. It keeps them all...
So Joe, you're actually now going from your field of expertise to politics, which obviously you're deeply enmeshed in because you're taking time out of a busy day to listen to a talk show and to call in to Michael Savage and all that. You're saying the government is purposely letting ISIS exist?
Why else? It wouldn't be hard. We have the permit for this. We bullied Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, into cooperating. Verizon, we bullied any number of tech companies into cooperating with NSA Dragnet spy programs. Why aren't we doing it for this? Clearly, this is not a matter of... This is guilt by omission, at least in my opinion. Clearly, we have the power to take command and do something about this, but we haven't.
So the same President Obama who tells our U.S. Air Force not to bomb a convoy of oil trucks and tells them not to blow up pickup trucks during a victory parade and tells Air Force pilots to come back with full bomb loads on bombing missions is telling people in cybersecurity to look the other way and let ISIS plot their next attack?
Maybe not tell them to look the other way, but not taking any action.
So there are people in the government who are listening to this show who would love to get up and scream that they know what's going on, they could stop the next attack, but they're being prohibited from doing so by higher-ups. Isn't that what you're implying?
Yes. Essentially, yes.
So the war on terror is a fraud, in other words. To you, a man who runs a tech company, who obviously is super brilliant, to have built this company. You have a background in the field. You probably started out, as a programmer yourself?
No, my background's in biochemistry, but...
That's even better. All right, so you went from biochem to tech. You have a successful company. So you're a super-thinking person. You actually believe the war on terror is a fraud?
In its current iteration, absolutely.
Okay, so what's... Joe, wait a minute. You're probably freaking out a lot of listeners, because they're listening to every word you're saying, and as I am, what's the end game of Obama and his minions? What do they intend? What do they want the enemy with, and what are they doing?
Well, first off, you have to understand that these people long ago, look at European leaders, look at the European Union, look at their leaders, they long ago stopped caring about the will, the well-being of their people. First things first, we have to understand that our government has betrayed us. It has been betraying us consistently for over a decade. Our government does not represent our interests. They represent certain other interests. instability in the Middle East is a good thing. It keeps the Saudis buying weapons. It keeps the Emiratis buying weapons. It keeps them distracted from the Israelis. It keeps the Sunnis and the Shiites at each other's throats. ISIS is still viewed with, I guess, kid gloves by the Gulf states because they're concerned about an ultimate showdown with Iran, the growing Shiite power. They're still concerned about this, but they still see ISIS as a potential tool to use in this. Because Iran has been very successful. Donald Trump himself said it. If Iran was a stock, I'd buy it yesterday. And he's right. They've been extremely successful with all of their efforts in the Middle East.
I'm a supporter of Israel, Joe, for obvious reasons. Is Israel also, in a way, not taking on ISIS?
ISIS isn't Israel's problem. It distracts Israel's enemies. Granted, I love Israel. Israel is fantastic. They are brilliant. They are what I wish America could be, ruthless and subversive when dealing with their enemies at the same time. They give no quarter and they ask none. They are brutally effective at pursuing the interests of their people. And that's what I think gets so many leftists so riled up about Israel is when they look at it, oh, how terrible, how terrible. Because Israel doesn't play this internationalist kind of game. They don't.
Because Israel is a sovereign nation with a national identity, and that's, of course, anathema to the New World Order. But why is Israel not engaged in fighting ISIS is what I keep asking.
Why would you fight someone that's got literally all of your enemies all tied up in the knots and not paying attention to you? Off the back.
Oh, God, Joe. Joe, I think there's more to your background than you're letting on, Joe.
Oh?
Joe, is there anything else you'd like to tell my audience that's probably quaking in their boots right now? Because what you're saying is quite revolutionary. Could you stay on the line for one more minute? I must conclude this hour with you, Joe. You've got me really on the edge of my seat. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. In plain English, Trump was right. We need to black out the internet in terrorist-infested areas, period. That's what he said. I went beyond that. And I've gone to the next level of analysis. And it's very simple. Michael Savage says, draft tech workers to help defeat ISIS. Trump said, shut off the internet in terrorist-infested areas. Now, that would require the greedy buccaneers who have capitalized on the internet, which they didn't create. Let me remind you, Bill Gates did not invent the internet, and it was not Al Gore either. The internet was a product, if I'm not mistaken, of the U.S. Defense Department many decades ago. Am I right about that? I think it was developed by the U.S. Defense Department with taxpayer money. They wisely, being the buccaneers that they are, found a way to make a buck off someone else's genius. And the rest is history. The fact is, they owe the country a huge, huge debt. Bill Gates, for all of his great works, all of his liberal foundations and all of that, needs to step up to the plate and help us with national security interests. Need I say the same about Mark Zuckerberg or the other tech giants, Twitter, for example, who live only for their self-aggrandizement and self-profit? They must be required by a legitimate government to aid in the war on terror in ways that I can't even imagine because I'm not a computer expert. It's as simple as that, but many of you are, and I've got your attention. Go and spread it around amongst yourself. Go and have a beer tonight with someone and talk about this from today's show and yesterday's show. And why don't you see if you can get someone above you to do something to protect us, because Obama is not protecting us. He's aiding and abetting the opposition, as sure as I'm standing here. One man's opinion, back in a minute.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Any refugee coming to the United States, some of them victims of terrorism themselves, will continue to get the most intensive scrutiny of any arrival.
Liar. You are such a liar.
They go through up to 2 years of vetting, including biometric
screening.
What
about your vetting? How come no one looked into your background?
Into the fiancé visa program under which...
Look, I can't listen to this anymore. The female Muslim who came into San Bernardino came in right through the walls that Obama's gang of old white men created. He's a liar through and through. His own Department of Homeland Security chief, who should have been fired after San Bernardino, admitted today before Congress that terrorists can exploit the system. So who does he think he's kidding? I guess he thinks he's kidding you. The trolls who don't like Michael Savage. Why do you listen to the show if you don't like me? Why do you waste my time? Just listening to me wastes my time. On the Facebook page, I posted the WND article. Michael Savage just came out minutes ago. Draft tech workers to help defeat ISIS. And some of the comments are these. I believe Joe is one of the most intelligent speakers I have ever heard in radio. I'm glad you took that call. Another one says, please expound on what Joe said, Michael. ISIS is useful, he said. Michael, explain who benefits from ISIS. Okay, let's do that in this hour, in addition to talking about this. Because there's a reason they're still existent. You could have defeated Hitler in less time than Obama's war on terror and Bush's war on terror. Hitler was defeated in less time when we had real patriots sitting in the Oval Office. Another one says we should make IT specialists an elite force with high honor, same as Navy SEALs, Green Berets, Delta Force, etc. I don't think so. I think that taking bullets in combat is much different. I think you could have divisions within the SEALs and Berets and Delta Force, which you already have. There's no question in my mind that they already probably have the highest level of IT specialists working there. How can they go out on a field mission without having an IT specialist with them? How could they? Okay, so these are some of the comments, and I can see I'm getting the best callers. This tech guy Joe you're talking to sounds knowledgeable about the tech world and politics and may want to talk to him often and maybe get Joe to talk to Trump as an advisor. Yeah, that's a good idea. The next time that Trump comes back on the show, I'll mention it. Michael, listen to me. He writes, David Schweitz writes, the Obama open border people have already conscripted the IT mercenaries at Facebook, Zuckerberg, and others. They are the useful idiots of today's war. Globalist utopia. This war has been waging since the 60s and before. And he goes on about Marxism and good and evil. And I don't want to go into it because it's too esoteric. Every post and ping from ISIS should be met with a smart bomb, someone writes. That's an easy answer. Yeah, put out the entire neighborhood. I guess you could say that. But that would be like saying that if a kid from a bad neighborhood does something bad, you should burn the neighborhood down with everyone in it. That's crazy. Can't do that. Doesn't work that way. If you care to chime in on this topic, well, let's see now. 855-407-282. Got some sound I want to play. Here is the great man, the great leader himself. You got to hear this one now in clip 5, trying to draw us all together and give us courage. Listen to 05.
One of our greatest weapons against terrorism is our own strength and resilience as a people.
Doesn't he sound like
that?
That
means staying vigilant. If you see something suspicious, say something to law enforcement.
Hold it! I see something suspicious on the stage right now. Hey, whoa, whoa! I see something suspicious at the head of DHS. Whoa! Now go on. The next, you have to start it from the top. I know we don't have the computer technology. Oh, good. We got new equipment. Go ahead, try
it. Allies in this fight are each other. Americans of all faiths and all backgrounds. And when Americans stand together, nothing can beat us.
Most
of
please.
All, we cannot give in to fear
you're such a...
or change how we live our lives.
I can't listen to it. I'm getting nauseous. I feel like I just ate bad fish. I feel like I ate 12-day-old tuna fish in a Taco Bell when I listen to him. I get indigestion. This man who has divided America from the day that he even started to think, he was taught how to divide and conquer. And look how good he is at it. He just used Ryan the Beard to get a $1.1 trillion budget. Ryan will now be called Obama's Beard. Remember that. You always refer to Paul Ryan as Obama's Beard. It's as simple as that. Now, here is the same day Obama's telling us that there's no way they're going to get in and hurt us. Here is the most incompetent man in the history of national security, Jay Johnson, in clip number 6. Listen to this, and you're going to get sick. Listen to it.
We do have to be concerned about the possibility that a terrorist organization may seek to exploit our refugee resettlement process. That is true of this country. That's true of every other country that accepts refugees.
He's a incompetent. He's just an incompetent yes man, a schmuck who never deserved this job. They pulled this moron out of Wall Street, and they gave him the HS. The moron doesn't know the first thing about national security. A 16-year-old kid who fought in a street gang would know more about national security than this putz. Listen to the next one. This is the man heading up DHS who just failed us in San Bernardino. Listen to 7 now.
There are a number of investigations by the FBI of potential plots, those who may be involved in plotting or planning terrorist acts. And as I've said, the new environment that we are in includes not only the potential for terrorist-directed, but terrorist-inspired attacks.
Why is this man in his job? Why don't they demand he be fired today? Why? Ask the Beard why. Ask the Beard who just gave the deceiver, the snake, $1.1 trillion to spend as he will, a kid in the candy store. Ask Paul Ryan why he doesn't ask that Jay Johnson be forced to step down. But wait, it gets even better. Jay Johnson, who just failed us and is now doing the media tour, they sent him out on a media tour to cover up his failure. He goes on CNN, Fox News, C-SPAN. They got him off his chair, his big chair at DHS. Listen to what he says in clip 8.
Public awareness, public vigilance, and public participation are important to our homeland security. We are creating an intermediate level
to
the NTAS system that includes an NTAS bulletin.
You hear this? A bulletin they're going to put out.
General developments or trends regarding threats of terrorism.
Who is this idiot?
We do this in public speeches, in public statements.
Oh, that's going to stop
for
ISIS.
Law enforcement with joint intelligence.
Okay, I can ridicule him from now until the end of the unit, the end of the decade. It's not going to change anything. Obama has selected this guy because he's a patsy. He's just a yes man, a schmendrick they found. They moved him up every step of the way. Now the Schmendrick's running DHS. The Schmendrick wouldn't know if he stepped on a ticking time bomb. He wouldn't know what it was if it was stuck in his shoe. He'd have to refer to a manual. He'd have to refer to a manual to see what the ticking was if he stepped on a ticking time bomb, God forbid. This is running the Department of Homeland Security. You know, if I were ISIS, I'd be laughing today. I'd be laughing at America. I'd laugh at them. These incompetent old men who have no clue. And they're scared, and they're shaking in their boots. And then they have the guy at top who does nothing to stop them. We got the best Air Force in the world. Didn't bomb the convoy of trucks after Mosul. Didn't bomb them in their strongholds. It took Russia bombing them that finally made Obama do something. Because he finally was shown for what he was. It took Putin. And you want to hear something on that issue that's really funny, strange rather, not funny in the sense of a Jackie Mason joke. Kind of strange, or you could say weird if you live in San Francisco. Here is a speech where John Kerry suddenly says that the U.S. is not seeking regime change anymore in Syria. Didn't he just meet with Putin? Somebody just met with Putin. All of a sudden, Kerry, the two-faced Paul Bearer, comes back, and he's singing a new tune now in clip 12.
The United States and our partners are not seeking so-called regime change, as it is known, in Syria. What we have said is that we don't believe that Assad himself has the ability to be able to lead the future Syria. We focused on a process, on the political process, whereby Syrians will be making decisions for the future of Syria. But we do believe that nobody should be forced to choose between a dictator and being plagued by terrorists.
Okay, so what he just said is after meeting with Putin, they've stopped insisting that Assad be forced out of office. That's what just happened. Did you hear this? What just happened? That's what just happened. That's a good thing, finally. Actually, it's a very good thing. Now, there used to be a guy in the news named Ted Koppel. Remember him? He was never important. He was just on forever. He had been on forever. The little guy with narrow shoulders, very narrow shoulders. He looked like he had a large head put onto it, like a dummy body. Remember, like a dummy body with a large head? Red hair, Ted Koppel. He's trying to retain relevance. He doesn't have it. He can't retain it. He's trying to regain some relevance after they threw him off ABC. I don't know what he does now. I don't know where he is. I don't know. Honest to God. I think he's teaching public speaking in Kuwait to a group of school children. But he suddenly appears on Fox News, and here he has this to say in clip 15.
He's got a lot more hair, but the fact of the matter is that he and Benito Mussolini have this sort of arrogant approach in which they say very little in terms of substance, but the manner in which they say it gets the crowds excited.
Gee, Ted, you know, you may have a new career back on CNN, or maybe even Fox News is trying you out again. You sound like you fit right in there with Megyn Kelly. You fit right in. I can see how you got where you are. In which they say very little in terms of substance, but the manner in which they say it gets the crowd excited. You didn't seem to have the same thing to say about Obama, did you? You lying, two-faced, tinhorn you. Okay, this is what passes now. What else do we have? Obama's on the way to a vacation. He's going to meet with the families in San Bernardino. White House praises the spending deal with the GOP Congress. They got everything they wanted and then some. Is that Obama or just a spokesmouth? Oh, it's a spokesmouth. Let me hear the spokesmouth in 17.
So we walked into these negotiations.
Oh, not him.
Focused on making sure.
Stop. Turn the war criminal off. If there's a sane nation after he's out of office, and there's a people tribunal, Josh Ernst is the first to go. He goes up where Goebbels went at Nuremberg. Josh Ernst goes up there with Goebbels. Don't you love these young, squeaky clean young white men who work for Obama? They get up every morning, bushy-tailed, beaver-tailed, whatever. Bushy-eyed. I don't know how they even say those phrases. Bushy-eyed and beaver-tailed? I don't know the American phrase. I feel like a foreigner in my own country. Bushy-eyed, bush-tailed and beavy-eyed, bleary-eyed and bush-tailed, something like that. They take a shower, they take a shave, they take some pills to get them going, and they get up and lie for a living. Could you imagine having to lie for a living? Could you imagine the burden being a human being and every day you wake up knowing that you have to lie for an individual, that your only job on earth is to lie for somebody who you know is a liar and ruining a nation? Could you imagine living like that? I couldn't do it for all the money in the world. I could do it if my life depended on it. Well, I tell you the truth. No, if my survival depended on it, I could do it. But his survival doesn't depend upon lying for Obama. He must know better. I certainly wouldn't do it for a buck. I've left many careers, by the way, in my life. Many. One day I'll tell it all in a book. I have walked out on careers because I would not work for certain people. I had to leave cities. I had to walk out. I had to walk out of certain things in my life because I wouldn't do them. Okay, that's neither here nor there. What's here is me. What's there is you. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYC.
So, you know, we feel good about the outcome. Primarily because we got a compromise budget agreement that fought off a wide variety of ideological writers, but yet ensures the priorities that this administration has identified when it comes to investing in middle-class families and protecting the country.
This Goebbels, that's Josh Ernst, the Goebbels of our time, is crowing that Obama just got everything that he ever dreamed of, and then some. $1.1 trillion. Him and Pelosi, Ryan the Beard and Pelosi, funded executive amnesty, sanctuary cities, refugee resettlement operation, illegal alien resettlement, the release of more criminal aliens from prison, a massive increase in foreign labor visa programs, which will displace more American workers so Facebook and Microsoft can make more money, tax credits for illegal aliens, no money to complete the 700-mile double-layer border fence approved 10 years ago, and Goebbels is crowing about it. His boss is clicking his heels, and Goebbels is crowing about it. And who did it? You don't have a Boehner to kick around anymore. He's laying on a chaise lounge somewhere in Jacksonville in his condo with a case of booze. They ship him in a case of booze probably every month, and he shickers it up pretty good there. And he just, oh, he can't. That's all another altar boy. He got his payout. They gave him the case. Once a month, he gets the case. Now you got Paul Ryan, the beard. That's the one with the beard, the young one. He's the young Boehner, but worse. This is a young Boehner, and he's even worse than Boehner. Boehner had a pink tie. This one has a beard, a black beard. Let's call him Blackbeard the Pirate, or we'll come up with new names for Ryan. That's all we can do is ridicule him. We got no power. Zero power. Power to the people, huh? Yeah. Real power to real people, sure. All power to the people. It's all power to Obama. Period. End of story. Where it ends is a neighborhood like San Bernardino near you. Little by little, a war against us, killing us through 1,000 slashes. You know, there's an old adage in the Arabic that when they couldn't kill a man with one blow, they killed him with 1,000 slashes. We are the giant that's being killed slowly with 1,000 slashes. And yet we could stop them from doing it, but that would require Zuckerberg and the others to shut down the information superhighways in their neighborhoods. And that would cost them a little money. I mean, you got to keep those yachts running somehow, don't you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
So, we walked into these negotiations focused on making sure that Republicans would not succeed in advancing their ideological agenda through the budgetary process.
Stop right there. Have you ever heard anything like this in the entire history of this government? Josh Goebbels Ernst, the lout, the spokesmouth for Obama, Josh Ernst, the Goebbels of our time, just actually let the cat out of the bag. He said, we fought with them, basically, to stop the Republicans from succeeding in advancing their ideological agenda through the budgetary process. I rest my case. You see, this administration does have the capacity to stop ISIS as it is. But the thing is, Obama does not have the intent to do so. Why is that? People say it's because of the progressive Marxist ideology. As stated by Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste. Never let a crisis go to waste. Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they could all be enlisted by a legitimate government to shut down the enemy. And you can't see this, can you? Now, in Government Zero, it's a very important book. I tried to show you, I still try to show you, maybe you'll buy it for Christmas, which is next week, the very cozy relationship between Islamists and Marxists. And when you combine the Marxists or progressives in the administration, no one will argue that they're not progressives, right? Well, what's the difference between a progressive and a Marxist? Nothing. So we'll use the word progressive. When you combine all the progressives in the Obama administration with the Islamists and put those ideologies together, you have Government Zero. A government not of the people, by the people, and for the people, but a government where there is no borders, no language, and no culture. And I said it to you, and it just came out today, that I was right again. It doesn't make me happy to say that. He just funded sanctuary cities. He funded all refugee programs. He funded all of the Mideast immigration programs. He funded illegal alien resettlement at a tune of $1.5 billion today. He funded the release of criminal aliens. So you say, an enemy couldn't do more. An enemy could not do more harm to this country than this snake in the White House. And what good does screaming about it do for me? And what does it do for you? Well, we have no opposition party whatsoever. Paul Ryan is a beard for Obama. Now, people don't like my idea. One wrote, said, as a tech worker, this is one of the most stupid ideas I've ever heard. What are you going to give up while advocating that the government enslave us at 25% of our salaries and we lose our homes, cars, tuition, loans, etc.? He says the average salary of a Silicon Valley software developer is $132,000 a year, and if you want the cream of the crop, maybe you should up the salary to around $200,000 with incentives. At least you get more return on your money than paying our senators and representatives that type of money. He says, where would that money come from to pay for attractive salaries and facilities? He says, so quit trying to put the burden on a small group of people. I have an answer for him. It's simple. You take the greedy buccaneers who you work for, the greedy buccaneers who capitalized on the internet without having created it, those who took the information superhighways that were created with government money, you take the greedy capitalist, like that ugly little creature who runs Microsoft, who hates America, and you force that bum to pay you a full salary while you dedicate yourself to protecting American Americans. You make that little bum pay you a full salary while you work for America. That's how you get the money you deserve. You make that bum give something up. You make Bill Gates give something up instead of that two-foot shuffle that he gives. Him and Warren Buffett, you went to the same school, making believe they're so kind and so nice with their largesse to liberal organizations, which is just a method of keeping the government off their back. Let them pay their fair share of taxes. Let them stop using the double Irish tax techniques to avoid paying taxes in this country. How do you think they get away with not paying their taxes? They give millions of dollars to the government. Millions of dollars in fundraising so he could shuffle off to Honolulu, putting more money in his kitty, in his war chest, for more progressive Marxists. They don't pay their fair share of taxes. When has Microsoft paid a full 39% that every other American corporation has to pay? Any legitimate American corporation pays 39%. 39%. What does Microsoft pay? What does Facebook pay? Look into it, my friends, and you'll find out why they're getting away with this. So this young man is saying he's a tech worker. Who's going to pay his salary? I gave you the answer. You make Zuckerberg pay you your salary for the 2 years that you give to the government, and then you get the government pay on top of that as an incentive, and when you get your job back, guaranteed when you come back out of service. That's who'll pay you. That's the answer. Does that solve your problem? No one's asking you to give up your house. And what about the H-1B visas that Obama just got today? Why is he flooding America with Indians, for example? Why is he flooding America with Indians, for example? Cheap labor for the boys and girls in the Silicon Valley playfields, who, again, gave him huge donations to make sure that he'd give him more H-1B visas so they can make more money. Okay. Now, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? Many of you don't like my idea at all. Many of you have the libertarian mentality. You say that all it will be is a waste of money, and it'll bring us down a long path of infringing on the rights of the innocent. I don't agree with you. Because in wartime right now, which we're in, you may not know this, we're in war right now. Who is going to stop them? Someone agrees with me. He says, Savage, again, you're out front. You're ahead of all the talk show hosts in America. Again, you're ahead of everybody. He said, I would push it further. Restart selective service for all 18 to 22-year-olds, male and female. 18 months for everyone with no dodgers, no delayed starts and no exceptions. Start it in 2017 and make it like the Israeli process. Then we will have trained weapon handlers who know how to defend the country, not just smoke pot on the campus lawn and complain. I don't think we need a generalized draft at all, by the way. We do not need people sitting around doing nothing. We need a selective service. We need to get smart. Just as there are new, in cancer therapy, for example, many years ago, they would use anti-cancer drugs that were not selective at all. and they would devastate people because they would not target specific cells. They wouldn't target specific cancer cells. They would target all cells, and they wipe people out. They almost killed people. In other words, you were bombing the entire cell structure of the whole body rather than specific sites where the cancer cells were growing. Well, today that's changed owing to the wonders of modern biotechnology. There are cancer treatments which selectively target cancer only cancer cells. And I say that we need, therefore, to use the same mentality with a new selective service. Pick the individuals that you need for the war effort, Mr. Trump. Create a new cybersecurity command. Get the smartest person in the world to run it. And draft those in this age bracket who can work for the government for 2 years. Figure out the payment, whatever it would require. And then you'll start defeating ISIS. That's one of the things you could do. Then you can make guys like Zuckerberg, Twitter, Sony PlayStation, shut down their games in the areas where the terrorists are known to assemble. Certainly they are not only in one area. We understand many of them live in our own neighborhoods. But they do conglomerate in certain countries and certain areas in those countries. 855-472-82. WVNN Radio. Steve, go ahead. Let's hear your position.
Michael, yes, I have two quick points. One, the reason the Internet was designed the way it is, it's a packet switch network, so that if we had an attack in the U.S. which cut off one route of the Internet, that the routers, as they're called, would find a different path. And so it's virtually impossible to shut off one area of the Internet because of the way it's designed. And secondly, within the last 2 years, there's been a new command stood up called Cybercom, Cyber Command, whose sole mission is to fight the cyber war. And it's a Department of Defense multi-branch service.
Yeah, I understand, but they failed us just now in San Bernardino.
Well, yes, sir, but there are going to be some failures, but we don't know the successes they've had.
Well, that's Obama's argument, that we don't know the successes they've had. What are the successes that they've had? Do we know? Will we ever know? Why don't we know about them?
Well,
I'd like to see. They keep telling us they stopped so many. Feinstein, in between the business deals, she comes up every once in a while. She pops up like a mushroom in the rain, and all of a sudden she gives a speech, Mrs. Feinstein. She pops up from the business deals, and all of a sudden, oh, you don't know how many we've stopped. Really? How many did you stop? Why don't you make a list for us? Why don't they give us a list like Santa Claus? Show us the terrorist attacks you've stopped, Diane, because I don't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. And I don't believe they've stopped any terrorist attacks. How's that? Why should I believe that? They didn't stop San Bernardino. Why not? I'll give you the answer. Why not? The answer is because Obama or Valerie Jarrett or somebody at that level prohibited the screening of social media going back in 2011. This just came out today. Senior officials rejected a proposal to incorporate social media screenings in the vetting process of foreign visa applicants in 2011. This was reported by all places by MSNBC. It was reviewed. In other words, they were looking into screening social networking internet sites for purposes of verifying information related to applicants and petitions. This went on for over a year, and then it was stopped by senior officials. And the person said, it's unusual for a policy to go through the review process for over a year and then not happen. So either Obama or Valerie Jarrett or somebody in that White House stopped this review process and permitted that Islamic murderer, the girl, the little girl, who committed that massacre. So you have to understand what you're saying to me may not be true. I don't trust this government, Steve. Do you?
No, I don't either. Not with the Obama administration in charge. And I think it would be useful if they would tell us the terrorist attacks they stopped via...
Yeah, I keep hearing... Yeah, right. Obama gave a speech today saying we stopped many. Okay, list them for us.
Right.
List them. Show the ones you stopped. Because right now all we know is Jay Johnson failed us in San Bernardino and you didn't fire him.
Right.
$1.6 billion of this new budget of $1.1 trillion is going to be used to resettle illegal aliens inside the country through 2018. Did you hear that today? Could you believe it?
Yes, I heard that, but it's crazy. I don't think they should be doing that at all.
No, I don't think so either. Steve, I'm sending you a great Christmas present. It's my wonderful work of genius, Government Zero. Stay on the line. We'll send it out to you. Ryan gives it all away. The beard gave it all away. Obama's beard. Anyway, the only place you can find the most creative idea that come out of talk radio in a very long time, which is mine, it can only be found on worldnetdaily.com or michaelsavage.com. Nobody else will link this article because I'm not a member of the old boys club. It's that simple. I am not a member of the old boys club. Thank God I'm a member of your club, the Savage Nation, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
You're listening to Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Someone just wrote, use West Point as a training facility. Well, that would be good, to use West Point for a military purpose instead of a social service. Take a look at what they're putting into West Point at Annapolis now. Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then Gary Collins writes, Dear Dr. S, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. P.S. I love you. I know, I had it backwards. I couldn't remember it. I thought it was bushy-eyed and bright-tailed, but that would be in a gentleman's club. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember the actual phrase. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, it is. That's Josh Goebbels Ernest. Yes, indeed. He brushes his teeth every night and every morning. Takes a shower, uses anti-deodorant. Anti-deodorant. Now, if you used anti-deodorant, you would smell, right? So he uses deodorant. Antiperspirant. You know, I only used that when I was 17 years old. I'm slipping into that now. I remember when I was 17, you know, you want to conform, right? You had to be, every hair in your head had to, like, be the right hair because you were so, like, a high school student. So for the first time in my life, I wanted to be an American. I wanted to be very normal. I got a roll-on deodorant, I remember it, and it had aluminum in it. It, like, stuck under my arms. I hated it. Luckily, I mean, I hated that. So I go with my instincts. I wouldn't use it after that. I used it once, and it made my underarm sticky. Never used it again because I'm inherently a clean person. You don't actually smell if you're a clean person, incidentally. You don't need a deodorant. You know that you don't need a deodorant if you're not hiding something? People stink who are hiding something. Generally, you're fine. I don't want to go into it, but it's true. The more they're hiding, the worse their body odor is. Did you know that? It's not only people, but it's a related thing. It's true. There was a DA here in San Francisco who was known as a stinker. They couldn't go in his office. A very left-wing fanatic. He defended the worst criminals on earth. A liberal through and through. Came from a family of criminals who were liberals. All the judges and lawyers in his family were crooks going back three generations in San Francisco. I won't mention his name. Everyone knows who I'm talking about. It sounds like halitosis, but it isn't. And this guy was known as a stinker. You went in his office, you could puke. People would hold their noses. They would not breathe for the time they came in for a quick meeting. And it was all based on his evil nature. But you don't really need a person antiperspirant, truthfully. And it turned out I was intuitively right, is what I'm trying to say. My intuition has always worked for me. Always. My whole life. Why? Because years later, as I studied biological sciences, let's put it to you that way, and then I got into the field of anti-Alzheimer's nutrition, which was 20 years ago, and I found the relationship between certain substances in foods which cause the degeneration of the brain and nutrients which could slow it down, which now is kind of the currency in the field. I wrote Reducing the Risk of Alzheimer's many years ago. It turns out that aluminum is one of the most neurotoxic metals there is. And most of the deodorants are aluminum-based, incidentally. So it's a good thing I didn't use the deodorant. It was all because as a 16-year-old I had good intuition and sensed that it was a toxic substance. Refugees, $1.6 billion to resettle Democrat voters. Well, we're going to have to raise that amount of money to fly them home and resettle them where they came from when Trump wins. Remember, whatever goes up can come down, and whatever goes north can go south. Government Zero will be saved. One day again, we'll save this country.